Blessed Sunday, welcome to church. Okay, let me go back. Right. Okay, Pastor Wei Kang shared with us about living out our faith 2 months ago. And last week, he gave us some definition of what it means to live a flourishing life. So today, I'll be sharing with you on living out the teachings of Proverbs 27. Yeah, let's do a recap. That's what Pastor Wei Kang like to do, right? So to live a flourishing life is to, what? Oh, I think I must ask him to come again. He just did that. To live a flourishing life is to live right, then live well, and live happily, right? Pastor Zhang Li shared in her first May sermon that she did a survey with 40 over Jubilee's members on their knowledge of Proverbs. Some members shared that they don't quite agree with some teachings in Proverbs, and some felt that certain teachings don't seem applicable in this era. Pastor Zhang Li's daughter also shared her challenges in applying the teachings. To truly embrace the teachings in Proverbs, we need to know that every word in the Bible is God's breath, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we can be equipped for every good work we are to do. We are to receive them with an open mind and an open heart. By renewing our mind, will then lead to the changes of our heart. Do not let the relativism of the world pollute our understanding and application of the Bible. In Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Those of you who grew up with Auntie Sabrina leading worship at Sunday school would remember this song. Auntie Sabrina, are you here? Oh, I think she is probably listening somewhere else. Anyone remember this song? It's, don't need to be shy, because if you know this song, means you're not that young. Yeah. All right. Auntie Sabrina will have actions, you know, to go with this song. Hey, actually, Sean, you should know, right? Sean looking around. Okay, never mind. Yeah. The song goes like this, right? Little by little, one step at a time, mending our hearts and renewing our mind, teaching us how to be patient and kind, little by little, one step at a time. Can recall now? No. Okay. Maybe I was in her Sunday school. Wow. Yeah, she was already teaching us on the need to renew our mind. In my counseling work, I had people who came for counseling telling me, Jonathan, I don't believe in counseling, but I'm here because my family asked me to. Or they may doubt the effectiveness of suggested treatment modality. When our mind is fixated, any positive shift will be difficult. It will also be challenging to see changes to our hearts. Let us read Proverbs 27 with an open mind and an open heart, and explore how Proverbs 27 teachings can help us live right, live well, and live happily. Proverbs 27, verse 10 and 14. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disasters strike you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. And verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, you'll be taken as a curse. In verse 10, a family friend is also regarded as a close next door neighbor, And the relative is viewed as distance, as they may not live nearby. Distance between towns may take hours or 1 or 2 days to walk. There was no MRT or buses. The wealthy family may be able to afford a donkey, a camel, or a horse. I remember that when I was on mission trip to Zambia some years back, there was no public transport. People walked hours just to attend church. I believe those of you who had gone to Ta Ku Ti for a mission would have had similar experience. Thus, when in an emergency or urgent needs, it is better to seek immediate help from your neighbor rather than depend on a relative who lives far away. There's a saying in Chinese, 远亲不如近邻. In verse 14, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. In the Bible, after the priest completed his prayer, he would then turn to the congregation and bless them in a loud voice. However, blessing a neighbor very loudly and too early in the morning, although with good intention, would be deemed as insincere. The loud and untiming blessing would wake up your neighbor from their sleep. Instead of appreciating your blessings, they will see it as a curse. This reminds me of the Catholic Church that is just beside my block. On the eve of Chinese New Year, we will usually stay up a bit later to prepare food for, you know, the first day of Chinese New Year. We will do some last-minute spring cleaning. Then we will wrap our ang pao, you know. Yeah, huh? So we tend to wake up a bit later the next morning. But boy, at 8:30 a.m., you will hear dong chang, dong chang, the drums and cymbal of lion dance coming from the Catholic Church. So the first thing that came to my mind, wow, the priest must be a Chinese, and he's trying to bless us with lion dance. But to be frank, I know very well that the whole block must be cursing because they were woken up from their beauty sleep early in the morning. And I'm quite glad, actually, for the last 2 years, due to COVID, there was no more lion dance on the first day of Chinese New Year. I'm not sure next year, yeah? So who is your neighbor? As a member of this big Jubilee family, who are our neighbor? In Luke 10, we were told to love our neighbor as ourselves. In the parables of the Good Samaritan, Jesus pointed out that the Samaritan who showed mercy to the injured man and took care of him is the good neighbor. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." During Jesus' ministry on earth, he demonstrated how to be a good neighbor. He by serving the last, the least, and the lost. In Matthew 25:40, we were taught that whatever we do for one of the least, we do it for Jesus. And in 25:35-36, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Rather than spend his time with the wealthy and noble, Jesus spent his time with the last, the lost, and the least. People like the tax collector, prostitute, the poor. In fact, Matthew was a tax collector before he became Jesus' disciple. If Jesus lived in our era, I believe he would be walking the community and doing the same thing. In the early period of COVID-19, anyone who came in close contact with a person down with COVID would receive a stay home notice, SHN, right? Yeah. And is not allowed to leave the home. Many families received stay home notice and no one was able to go out to buy groceries or food. In the north, a few churches got together and became the Good Samaritan, overcame the fear of getting COVID themselves, bought groceries and medicine for the families, and delivered them personally. There was no need to preach the gospel. Through their actions of love, I last heard that one family started to attend church regularly. Jubilee Church has been at Tanjong Pagar, Tiong Bahru area for many years. We were closely connected to the Tiong Bahru community in the late 40s and early 50s. Can anyone tell me where is this place? Let me check if you know your community. Oh yeah, who said that? Well done. Yes, that's Tiong Bahru CC. Okay, looks like we know our neighbor, yeah? Yeah. So, I was there a few months ago and saw this piece of history on their wall. Singapore First Community Center. What struck me was that the community held a meeting at the Outram Road Church Hall to discuss and decide on the setting up of Tiong Bahru CC more than 70 years ago. The Outram Road Church mentioned here is Jubilee Church, because you don't see any other church at Outram Road, right? We are the only one. Our church started the first kindergarten in Singapore more than 100 years ago, the Chinese kindergarten, and also played an important part in setting up the first community center in Singapore. See how God used Jubilee in the earlier years. This is a recent picture whereby our senior pastor, Reverend Wei Kang, and Elder Wan Feng attended the Tiong Bahru CC 70th anniversary dinner. Our late Elder Yao Zifang, our brother Chen Lian's father, Sister Sabrina's father-in-law, was a patron of Tiong Bahru CC. He conducted at the choir, served as the treasurer, and was involved in community work. I didn't know that he was so involved serving the community until I went to one of Tiong Bahru CC event. Many of the veterans in the community have fond memory of him. As a Jubilee Church members, how do we want to function as a good neighbor? How do you want to bless your neighbor? Go up to the rooftop of Jubilee Church and shout blessings early in the morning? Or you want to send a drone over to play a blessing, you know, because we have our drone expert here? Or do we want to live out our faith by getting into action? Jubilee Church will be celebrating our 140th anniversary next year. Do you want to do something to bless your neighbor? Our neighbor, Tiong Bahru CC, is organizing a Christmas celebration in December and has invited Jubilee Church to be part of the celebration. One of the events will be at somewhere near Tiong Bahru, this place. Have you all been there? No? Do you know where is it? I think we only know Tiong Bahru Market, right? Yeah, so if you go to Tiong Bahru Market, walk another 200 meters down along the road, you will see this place. It's called Kim Pong Park. We can finally sing Christian Christmas carol or play Christian Christmas music in a community space openly. A few other churches have agreed to be part of this celebration. One church has volunteered to be the main sponsor. If you are committed to live out today's teaching of being a good neighbor, volunteer yourself and approach our choir director, Sister Kathy. She'll be gathering people to prepare for the Christmas carol. Let's move on and see how Proverbs is telling us to live well and live happily. For these verses, I'll be reading from both NIV and the Passion Translation, as the Passion Translation translated different ancient scripts and translated these verses to our current context. Verse 23, a shepherd should pay close attention to the faces of his flock and hold close to his heart the condition of those he cares for. A man's strength, power, and riches will one day fade away. Not even nations endure forever. In verse 23, a person is to know the condition of his flocks and set his heart on the herds, just as the wise study and gain wisdom through proverbs. The flocks provide food and wealth to the owners, and the teachings of Proverbs will point a person to the right path. Verse 24 tells us, a man's strength, power, and riches will one day fade away. Not even nations endure forever. This highlighted that power and wealth do not last forever. Just as how we saw the wealth and kingdom of King Solomon taken away. If you want to live well and live happily, do not hoard your blessings and wealth like the Dead Sea. We all know that the Dead Sea has inlet, but there's no outlet. Water flows into Dead Sea from River Jordan. It then has no way to get out of the lake and thus forced to evaporate. As such, the concentration of the salt is about 35%. And you can float in it without much effort. I believe some of you have been to the Dead Sea, right? Yeah, I think probably you were busy with the Dead Sea clay, you know, or trying to look good, you know. Yeah, so you can float. Yeah, however, you cannot find any fish or sotong, you know, your favorite squid, because no life. Except some bacteria. So you cannot have your favorite seafood dinner by the beach. For verses 25 to 27, NIV version stayed with the original text of goats and lambs, while the Passion Translation translated the verses to our current context. So I'll be reading from the Passion Translation, but you can take a look at the NIV as a reference. Verse 25 to 27, take care of your responsibilities and be diligent in your business, and you will have more than enough, an abundance of food, clothing, and plenty for your household. Verse 25 to 27 focus on the theme of diligence and hard work as per other verses in Proverbs 12, 13, 14, and 21. Let me take you one step further in relation to what we learned on living right with our neighbors, the needs to be generous towards our neighbors, towards the poor, the needy, were taught in Proverbs 11, 14, 19, and 22. The plenty mentioned in verse 27 is telling us that besides having enough for ourselves and our family, it's also about plenty to share and bless others. Paul reminded the Christian at Philippi in Philippians 2, 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Thus, use your excess to bless the last, the lost, and the least, rather than store up our wealth which will not last. Let me stress again, having enough or excess is to bless others, not gorging them. In Matthew 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We need to know that every moment we live and the blessings we received are gifts from God. A grateful heart will make us happy. Grateful for the sheep that provides milk, wool, meat, and wealth. Grateful for the servants who help to care for the flocks and the home. Grateful for the blessings that God has given us. Let's learn to count our blessings and show our gratitude. I know of a very wealthy lady. Her family was blessed with great wealth, possessing many properties, drive good cars, fat bank account. But she was very unhappy and lamented that God did not bless her, and she stopped going to church for a while. There are two things that went missing in her life that made her very unhappy. She failed to count her blessings and be grateful for what God had given her. And she was like the Dead Sea, storing up all her wealth, but there was no outlet. Going back to this slide which I shared earlier about being a good neighbor, I believe some of you would have caught the numbers that 1,000 families were blessed. Who would foot the bill of 1,000 families, as those churches are not the mega church with strong financial abilities? I must clarify that the following sharing is not to blow the trumpet of any organization or anyone, but as a witness of seeing a good neighbor blessing the community. The CEO of Far East Organization has been a great steward in running his businesses, as well as being a good neighbor in blessing the community. No KPI was set about how many people came to know Christ through all these good works. He was just being the good Samaritan as taught by Jesus. If God blessed you with more than enough, instead of looking at buying the next property or a better car, do you want to lift up your faith by being a good neighbor? You may say, Jonathan, I only have a little more than enough. Nothing like the CEO of Far East Organization. So how can I bless? Well, you can start small by sponsoring a few children from the low-income families to join our JCCM Children's Camp in December. Or you can buy a table at Jubilee Church Christmas lunch, the Ai Yin, and invite the low-income families to join you. Another way to live happily is hidden in the following verses. I'm reading from the NIV, verse 15 and 16. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof, in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. King Solomon, described the leaking roof as a person suffering from the angry words of his wife, feeling miserable due to his quarrelsome spouse. Anyone buys a house hopes to find shelter from it and enjoy some peace and safety. If the roof starts to leak on rainy day, it will be frustrating as it no longer provides the shelter and peace that he hoped for. Although King Solomon used quarrelsome wife, but in my counseling work, it can also be quarrelsome husband. Thus, when I use the word he or she later on, just knows that it applies to both husband and wife. So husband, don't be too happy, all right? Yeah? When doing couple counseling, I would ask couple, why do they marry? The common reply is for happiness and support. But if a person goes home every day and face a quarrelsome spouse, he will find his home intolerable and toxic. He'll probably stay out as late as possible to avoid conflicts. This happened to some of my clients who approached me for counseling. Few actually left home or 回娘家, you know. Yeah. You know, just like what it was mentioned in verse 8, like a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. While King Solomon highlighted the challenges of a quarrelsome or nagging spouse, he did not elaborate further what could have possibly caused the spouse to be quarrelsome. Let me share with you the iceberg model that I frequently use in counseling. Some of you have watched the movie Titanic. Okay, the younger ones probably not. Yeah, I believe you always remember that scene where the actress and the guy, you know, stand in front of the boat and whispering sweet nothing. I can't remember what they said, yeah. And I believe you also remember how the ship sank, right? Yeah, if not, you can watch Netflix and you can rewatch it again. What the captain saw was the tip of the iceberg and did not realize that below the tip was a gigantic ice. Thus, the quarrelsome and nagging behavior are just tip of the iceberg. There are lots of underlying unmet needs and emotions. Spouse feeling not important, unloved, not respected, not attended to, not appreciated, abandoned, and so forth. All this, coupled with different expectation and perception, would result in volcano eruption, not just the leaking roof. There's a need to work on communication with the grace of Jesus and understand the emotions beneath the tip of the iceberg. Due to time, I won't be able to elaborate further because that will be another sermon. Let me give you a bonus tip. In digital gaming, it's called Easter egg. For those young people, yeah, you see, I saw no gaming words. Huh? Yeah, you can apply the same iceberg model when you experience a nagging parent, a quarrelsome friend, or a negative behavior of a child. They'll probably have some unmet needs that require your attention. On a lighter note, King Solomon had many wives and concubines. Can anyone tell me how many wives and concubines he had? Anyone? Anyone? Sorry? 1,000 over. Somebody said 1,000 over. Okay, very good. Very close. In 1 Kings 11:3, it was recorded that he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wife led him astray. Just imagine 1,000 wives and concubines with different unmet needs. You can see 1,000 iceberg. Huh? Whew, wow. You take up the whole North Pole and South Pole. No wonder King Solomon was greatly disturbed by quarrelsome spouse. Not forgetting 1,000 wives and concubines, also those who join my marriage preparation course will know, also include 1,000 nagging mother-in-law. My apologies to those who are mother-in-law, right? So to all the married men, be grateful that God gave you only one wife. This saves you from all the headache. In summary, to live out our faith through the teachings of Proverbs 27, let us live right by being a good neighbor. Live well and happily with a grateful heart. Bless our neighbor with our enough or plenty, and build relationship with the grace of Jesus. Amen. Before I step down, I just want to share a song with you. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. May the Holy Spirit speak to you through these words.
Journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through God.
Thank God for his wonderful sermon through Jonathan. So now in response, we offer what